This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February the 4th, episode 842. This special Tack Talk episode is brought to you by Equus Now. Good morning, horse world.
We're going shopping.
I got it on sale.
Aw, baby, take it back.
It was such a bargain.
We got 12 of them already.
Open your checkbooks and tighten your earbuds because we're about to embark on another round of Tack Talk with Equus Now. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by on this fine Tuesday morning. We are thinking about all of those in the Northeast who had a tremendous amount of snow and are looking forward to more. Just makes me glad I don't live in Pennsylvania anymore, but we are definitely thinking about you and hope the best for all of you in this very, very snowy cold winter. Well, Rose could not be with us today from Equus Now. Hopefully, she'll be back with us next month. So it's just me as Jennifer is off working on another project for the network this morning. The whole gang will be back with you tomorrow morning, Jamie, Jennifer, and I. Today, we bring you our monthly retail episode sponsored by Equus Now. We thought we would share with you a few of the fun interviews that we did at the American Equestrian Trade Association last weekend. And also, at the end of the show, we will replay the Don Jeans interview for you from last Friday. Of course, he was the star of the best ads at the Super Bowl, the Budweiser puppy commercial, and also last year's ad with the baby horse. So I think we had an exclusive interview before he came on the air on his commercials on Sunday, and now everybody wants him for interviews. And Jamie worked on that one for a year, got it set up, and he was a super nice guy. We'll play that for you at the end of the show. Don't forget, tomorrow is the first of the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenges. We'll do that at 10 a.m. Eastern. Gina Miles, Olympic eventer, is going to join us, and she is donating one of her signature bits and signature saddle pads of the Gina Miles collection. They're out brand new right now. You'll be one of the first ones to get one, actually. And we are going to select a player who will join us tomorrow morning from our listeners. If you want to sign up to be put in the pool to play on Wednesday mornings, it's very simple. You go to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a big banner in the middle of the page. Click on it, and you go sign up. Take about 1 minute. Once you're in the pool, you're in there forever. You don't have to keep signing up over and over again. And we'll randomly select names each week. We'll contact you by email and find out if you can join us that Wednesday. If you can't join us for some reason, you're busy, we'll put your name back in the hat. So we look forward to playing that for the first time tomorrow morning. You can tune in and listen to that here at horsesinthemorning.com. And also, you can listen to a recorded version of this show, of course, on our app, whether it's iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network in your app store. Up first for you today, we bring you a conversation that Jennifer and I had with Richard Brown of Abbey England Limited, with a fascinating conversation about bits. Take a listen. Hi, Glenn here, and I am with Coach Jen, and we are at the American Equestrian Trade Association.
Hi-ho!
And we are finding all the cool products that are out there available in your tack shops, and some new products, as well as some old things that we have been we haven't seen in a long time. And one of the things that you can't come to the show without finding somebody to talk about bits, and we have that perfect person. His name is Richard Brown, and he is from Abbey. It's Abbey England Limited, right?
It is indeed.
Okay.
We sell under the Abbey name, the Abbey bit range, made in England.
And we, of course, wanted to have him on because of his accent.
He sounds cool.
Yeah, he sounds good.
Yeah. you bring up the culture of the show a little bit.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Right. You thank appreciate you. That. And yes. You know what? At that accent, you can say anything
doesn't
you
matter.
Want and American will believe you.
Yes.
That's right.
You can sell London Bridge.
Looking forward to getting out of this show as quickly as possible. Finding some Americans.
So now we're talking about bits. And tell us a little bit about Abbey, the company.
We're a third-generation family business. My son works in the foundry. My father set our business up in 1982. The foundry we own is actually from 1832. We manufacture bits in stainless steel predominantly, and we make to the top end of the trade in a variety of sizes and types and shapes, and for the very specialist market. So if you want rollers with a French link in the middle and an elongated cheek, we're the people who will make that one-off bit for you.
So you can literally make, take and customize it like you would when you used to buy a car. You want this window and that piping and that clutch and that geared box, and you can do it.
There are some exceptions, such as the rubber and vulcanite molds are the size they are. It's very difficult to change those, but with stainless steel as a material, it's quite easy to fabricate it to a particular design. So we can have square mouths or twisted mouths.
About how many different bits, this is going to be a ballpark figure, I'm sure, about how many different bits does Abby make?
Hundreds of types.
Wow.
And each size can vary in the main from 3-inch pony bits up to 8-inch shire horse bits if we needed.
You had at least 100 just on your table over there.
We did, yes.
Yeah, you had a lot of bits along.
It's the only way to show the idea that the concept is that each horse has its own unique key. Mm-hmm. The old style of bits really only had 5 types of bit and 3 sizes. And that looked after everyone very well. But in the modern way, everyone wants to offer more solutions,
right,
more problem-solving devices.
Right.
So we've ended up with this whole plethora of bits coming from everywhere. And whilst it overcomplicates the market, people do like to think there's a unique bit,
right,
to help their horse.
Right.
The old way was that the bit works and the rider knew what they were doing and the horse knew what they were doing. So you had a very simple range. But nowadays, people are much more aware of those little nuances that the horse needs, whether it's copper to allow the horse to lean onto the bit because it's warm, or stainless because it's cold and you shy away a bit from it.
Mm-hmm.
A mixture of the two is obviously an ideal solution.
Mm-hmm. You were talking yesterday when we stopped at your booth, and you had me when you used a particular phrase. I was asking about how the bits were made, and at one point you said, We bash them together. So give us an overview of how a jointed bit is made. Go through the steps.
Okay.
Yeah, because I want to know how you get a solid ring through a hole on a solid mouthpiece.
Yeah, how's that happen?
How's that happen?
That's an easy one. The stainless steel is on in a wire, and you bend the wire round a solid piece of metal so that you've got a particular circle diameter.
Right.
You cut it, then you've got two cut ends which you TIG weld together, and TIG weld works from inside to out, so it looks solid on the outside. It's solid throughout as well, otherwise you've not done the job properly. But you've then got a solid ring which you polish off the join and make it look smooth. Having put it through the hole, it then looks like a solid cast.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like there's a joint here.
It doesn't, but it comes as a rod length, and we bend it round.
You make all
the
loops.
A multiple, yeah, set of rings. On the set on a Pelham, for example, the cheek is a lost wax casting, so that's
mm-hmm.
that's a solid entity.
Mm-hmm.
The mouthpiece has to fit round the cheek, so the knuckle in the middle. One side is a solid casting and one side is cast open, and you put the two together and bash the...
There's that word again, bashing.
The open bits...
I just picture a guy with a sledgehammer beating it.
So you actually have guys with hammers in there and anvils putting bits together.
You bash them closer together, you TIG weld them together, you polish it and clean it. This is very simplified. It's not...
Right.
It's not sounding as high-tech as it is.
I imagine the whole process being automated, and there was one guy sitting in a control room with a button.
If you want to make hundreds of them, maybe that's the way you can do it. But we're not working in that market. We're working in unique bits,
mm-hmm.
very bespoke items of where you want a particular mouthpiece that does one job that mm-hmm. you know the horse needs because it's leaning on the bit or mm-hmm. it's trying to take control. So you want a a Waterford multi-link mouthpiece and the horse only can grab one link and you've still got control. But you then want on the outside a Pelham with a 7-inch cheek because you need extreme leverage. You've got a multiple set of jobs there to do. Lengthen the cheek or make sure there's enough multiple links in the mouthpiece to allow the rider to still have control of the bit in general.
Right. Now, one of the unique the mouthpieces that you guys still carry, which you don't see in a lot of places anymore, is called what in the United States is called a cherry roller. I don't know if they call it that in the UK.
We do.
But it looks a little bit like an abacus for someone who's never met a cherry roller bit. How do you make that one?
Well, that one is a copper tube or a stainless tube, and you can slice it, drill the hole in the middle, thereby you have a roller, and you would polish it to the shape, whether you want it curved, or there are some rollers that we do that are flat surfaced. So the idea with that kind of bit is, again, like the Waterford, you have a mouthpiece with lots of movement on it. All the rollers are moving independently. The horse likes playing with it, so it feels very at ease, because all it knows is, well, there's this nice thing in my mouth that I can wrap my tongue around and I can play and play.
Give him a binky,
And then you just pull the cheek, the strap work, and the cheek tells it to jump, and it jumps, and it's still playing, so it carries on again. But all the rollers move. It can't take control of the bit. The rollers, as I've said, are mainly made as a section of a tube, so you get the profile. Drill a hole in the middle for the
so you thread them through like beads.
Yes, and then you weld the end up.
Yeah.
That's a very fabricated way of making a bit.
What is the, as far as the manufacturing process, what is the most complicated bit that you guys make? It has the most steps, as he chuckles and rolls his eyes.
There is one in the racing world called a citation bit, and Norton Perfection is its old English bit. That's got two mouthpieces. One's a simple overcheck, very thin though.
Explain what an overcheck is for those who are not familiar.
Very thin mouthpiece that acts alongside another bit. So you've got a very severe snaffle action because it's very thin. The other bit has got serrations on it, and it's got two sliding catches that basically allow you to have strap work that gives a more...
Allows you to stop a tank.
Yes, basically. That's the way. We sell the bits, but we don't deal directly in the shop, so we don't know the horse and rider combination. We rely very much on the local retailer to know his or her customers, because some of the bits in the wrong hands will look not as... safe as you might want, but as long as the right rider is riding and the horse needs that bit, there isn't an issue. But we're very particular about the barns that we sell to, the shops, the retailers. There are ways to market, and a lot of the bits go to very particular show jumping arenas.
Right.
People who do know that they're with their horses all day, every day, and they know what they're doing.
Now tell us about the bit that you brought over, which is something that, talk about an old school bit. First of all, what's the name of it?
It's a jointed windsucker.
And you called it...
Here in the States, that's frequently called a whistle bit.
A whistle bit. And the reason is the mouthpiece, it's jointed, and the mouthpiece has holes drilled in it, so it's just this rod, basically.
It's a hollow tube.
Hollow tube with holes drilled in it. And is this so they can do the Star Spangled Banner and we don't need the guy singing, or what is it for?
If you had a horse that could sing, it would be very wealthy. But
can whistle its way around the course. This to make them happy? Is that it?
It is. It stops the whistling as well, which is a distraction.
Why is it stopped that?
I think they hear themselves.
Oh, is that right?
That's always been my theory of it. It's whistling,
referring to a breathing condition.
Yes.
For someone who's not heard of what whistling is, because
and if you've
it's not
heard
seen
it,
that
you,
often.
If you've heard it, you'll remember it.
Yes.
Because yeah.
Thank you. It's always on the radio. It's a different
mind
concept, isn't it?
Yeah. If you've heard it, you'll remember a horse that did that.
I should have brought lots of the bits over, but if I went through the materials we do, stainless is very easy to fabricate a bit like that, where we have a tube, we drill holes in it to make the whistling part, and then we we weld on the knuckle bit in the middle that allows it to snaffle. We could make it in copper. You can't put that jointed end in the same way, but copper allows the horse to salivate, makes it feel happy. There are some of our bits which are, because copper is a stain, a very soft metal.
Soft, yeah.
And it's very much used in the polo arena, where they will wear the bit out very rapidly. We put it's a stainless jointed mouthpiece we would use, and we would put copper over the top of it. So the stainless core gives its ultimate strength, but the copper gives the effect. The same with sweet iron. We have a way of merging the two metals, so you get the effect of one metal and the strength of the other. Doesn't help in dressage, where you're not allowed to mix the metals up.
Right.
On we do vulcanite and rubber. Vulcanite is a baked rubber, a very hard surface. You tend to get the thickness of the mouthpiece, which is soft and comfortable for the horse.
And for vulcanite, it's not something you see much anymore, but if you were to pick it up with your eyes closed...
Not since the Star Trek series was cancelled.
Yeah. Very funny.
It looks like a plastic. It looks like a black plastic.
But yet, when you pick it up and hold it in your hand, it makes me think of fine wood.
Yes, it's very, very
it's conductivity properties.
It's nice and warm.
Yeah.
We do actually sell an awful lot of vulcanite because our way of making it is old school. It is very reassuring, and the people in that level of show jumping love the very short cheek pelums that we do, so that the overall length of the pelum is 4 inches on the cheek. It's very little leverage required if your horse knows what it's doing and is well schooled, and you're well schooled. You don't need a long cheek for a large amount of leverage.
Right.
But you have this lovely port mouth vulcanite or mullen mouth or jointed, and the rubber ones as well. They cover an awful lot of different options using the same pelum cheek. And as a material, it fits exactly what that level of show jumping wishes to use. Old school maybe, but it is a very tactile, warm material to the horse.
Right, and for a lot of horses, that tactile sensory thing is really important. Some horses like the feel of stainless steel and some don't.
Well, stainless is cold. The horse pulls away from it to a large extent. But I'm sure they go easier with the bits when the rider thinks the bit is going to make the horse happy.
There you go.
The horse is very clever.
Yes.
It just needs to know that the rider knows what it's doing.
Yes.
And it's happy.
What's your most popular mouthpiece now?
All the vulcanite bits.
Vulcanite.
Because the offshore supply isn't as reliable as our particular material, but we tend to be supplying the unusual bits. So if it's polo world, we will be selling a lot of Hanoverian pelums and Sam Marsh pelum, which is a very old English style one with a flat mouthpiece with a port in it. Looks really bulky, and the cheek has a little catch in it, so if you're riding along gently, the flat mouthpiece just sits on the tongue and is gentle. But when you need to have an ultimate break, you can pull either cheek and it will pull the mouthpiece vertical, so you've got an instant stop there. Obviously, again, it's the kind of bit you don't want the wrong people using,
right,
because it is a severe bit.
Right.
But it goes to polo and show jumping, and it's not the kind of thing you'd use in dressage.
Just
dressage is a refined thing with very particular mouthpieces of particular shapes that fit in the mouth. You need the breaks in hunting, for example.
Well, cool. Very good. Where can people find your products?
In lots of good retailers, or find us via our website, which is ridingbits.com, and we will direct you to our...
You got ridingbits.com?
We have ridingbits.com.
Oh, well, that's easy to remember. That was a score.
With a Z at the end.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Good. Riding Bits plural with a Z.
Yes.
Oh, that's
okay.
Funny. I'm glad you said that. I wouldn't have thought about it.
So ridingbits.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been fun.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And of course, today's Tack Talk episode is brought to you by the good folks over at Equus Now. Rose couldn't be with us today. We hope that she'll be back here again next month. But you know, we sometimes get in a rut. We go to the same companies to buy stuff. You're looking for a new blanket, or your horse has torn his to shreds in this hard winter, and you go to one place and you forget to check out other places. Well, we can recommend Equus Now. They're out of Ohio. They have a terrific website. If you're in any part of the country, they have free shipping on most orders over $100. Just hop on over to equusnow.com, and they have blankets, and they have stuff for the horse, the rider, the barn. They have gifts. They have a consignment shop that really can't be beat, and it's an online consignment shop. They have great deals on used blankets and so much more in their consignment shop, so check it out there first. Maybe you'll find something that you like in the consignment shop, and you can actually buy it used before go heading off and buying something new. Their website is easy to navigate no matter what you're looking for. It's so easy to navigate, and they have everything spelled out very simply and very easily for you. But more important than all of that stuff put together is that they are truly a quality organization. We have known Rose for almost 20 years that runs Equus Now and co-hosts this show most months. And they are a terrific company to work with. They will not cheat you. They will definitely work with you to find the right product. They're not going to sell you something just because it's the hottest thing out there. If you call them, their people are terrific to work with over the phone. Tell them exactly what you're looking for. Maybe you're having a little trouble with deciding which product to get. They're there to help you all along the way. That's equusnow.com. And we thank them for their support of Horses in the Morning. Well, next up, we have a fascinating guy we met at ADA by the name of William Micklem, and he talks about his book called A Complete Horse Riding Manual, as well as his complete redesign of the bridle with his Micklem bridle. Hi, it's Glenn back with Coach Jen for another interview. We did part one talking to William Micklem from Ireland about breeding, and now we wanted to go into a little bit more about what happens after we bred the horse, and we actually have to work with it, and that's where your book came in. Tell us about your book.
Well, the book is very exciting. When I was contacted about doing the book...
Which is called?
The Complete Horse Riding Manual.
Okay. That covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, that's a lot of ground there.
Yeah, it doesn't do Western riding.
Okay. So. The Complete Horse Riding Manual for English Riders.
There we go.
It's about English riding. You're absolutely right. And it was a very intense...
Have you ever been in a Western saddle, by the way?
I have sat in a Western saddle,
okay,
and
good.
I love Western riding.
Okay, good.
Oh, I'm a great supporter. You know, as with most areas in horsemanship, the best of anything is fantastic. And I love the idea that people can sit in a Western saddle and be more comfortable. And it's ridiculous that we try and get novice riders in English riding to sit in postage stamp saddles. And just everything we do is so difficult for
you
them.
You just made a lot of friends in the United States. So tell me about the book. What does the book do that other books don't?
It's... As all Dorling Kindersley books, it's wonderfully illustrated. So the illustrations help the story all the way through.
Visual learner, and put your hand up.
Yeah.
And I know, like yourself, I like to reevaluate things and maybe put things in a different way if I feel there's a better way to put things. And I was so impressed when I first came to the United States and watched Jack LaGoff and Bert DeNemethy teaching. And I was aware then that they had really thought about their subject to a level which other people hadn't. Not that it was too great a depth, but it was too great a simplicity. So simplicity is an absolute golden rule for me. So I wanted to simplify things. So, for example, you'll read about it in my books, I invented what I call my constants and my variables, the things that we constantly require and the things that are variables that every little exercise we do are slightly different, which also gives you your priorities.
There.
My first two variables are to find the right direction and the right speed. Now, that seems, well, that's... oversimple. Where does that lead me? Well, I know that when Mark Phillips came to Lucinda Green when she was going around her first badminton, which she actually won on a horse called Be Fair, He said, apart from kicking on, he said, keep the right route, keep the right track, the right direction, and keep the right speed. And, you know, under pressure, you need to keep things as simple as possible. And then your brain works much better. Your reactions work much better. If you're in a dressage test, you've tuned the horse up. It's going wonderfully well. You have to concentrate in going down the center line, where your first turn is, where the corners are, what shape you're doing, so therefore the right direction. If you're doing a medium trot, you have to go faster than when you're doing PF and passage. So it applies in pure dressage. It certainly applies in eventing. And so we progress on from there. And as regards the constants, the first thing you need is acceptance from your horse. You can't get anywhere unless you have acceptance. In other words, a relationship with your horse. So I break things down in a very simple form. And they're illustrated throughout with this wonderful photography, which makes a big difference. And there are very, very few books that have a coordinated approach to flat work, show jumping, and the cross-country work, and all the other aspects of horsemanship. In fact, we have a young horse training section to show you how to start it off first of all. Now, what this means is vital for the relationship between horse and rider, because I believe you have to have a holistic approach to horse riding, and particularly to eventing. And it's not fair to a horse to have one method to do the flat work and another method to do the jumping. But that does tend to happen with this modern trend to go to specialist trainers. And there's confusion, not just confusion with the rider, but confusion with the horse. So the book would suggest that here,
yeah, because the horse doesn't understand that he's learning for two different things. He just understands that he's learning.
Absolutely. So I give the aids in the same way for all the disciplines. And there's a very strong connection through with all the disciplines. And of course, as regards eventing, the strongest thing through all the way is that you allow the horse to do as much as possible. You allow the horse to work for you. And then the sport becomes fundamentally much safer. So I emphasize what I call fifth leg training to go across country. So by fifth leg training, I mean the horse's ability when it's in trouble to find a fifth leg to get it out of trouble. So I want the horse to work for the rider, to take responsibility for the fence, and I want the rider to allow the horse to work. And it changes totally the relationship between a horse and rider across country and makes them so much safer. Because the riders that try and dictate every step of the way across country are inevitably going to make mistakes. And unless that horse is used to taking charge, looking after itself, then there's going to be a problem.
Do you think that, and I kind of see this, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but I think that we've almost overcomplicated it for riders, and I'm talking to the young riders coming up, that there's so much information and so much bombarded them all times that they in their minds overcomplicate what should be a fairly simple step-by-step process, and that's where your book goes.
Absolutely. And it's all the way through, and this simplicity is a way of you accelerating progress, and it's a way of you going to a higher level. I mean, horses are wonderful because you can have, relatively speaking, ordinary people who can do extraordinary things with horses because of the special ability of horses, and you can do it for a lifetime. There are many people, as you know, who are show jumping well into their 60s. And as you take a more simple approach and as you get the horse to do more of the physical work, you find that you can carry on to a higher level. And I also introduce in my book my Micklem bridle. There are about over 100 photographs of the Micklem bridle, and I know it hasn't been on the market for that number of years, but I have been using it now for over 20 years. And the Micklem bridle is totally approved by the FEI, the international body, but it is different. It is innovative because it makes a more...
What makes it different that haven't seen it?
It makes a horse more comfortable. Now, my father was a great expert on teeth, number one, and I knew when I was a young lad how much wider the upper jaw teeth are than the lower jaw teeth. And you don't ever see this because you have this nice skin and nice hair going over a horse's head. But that's why I have my...
Thankfully, by the way.
Yes.
And we do appreciate that. I'm not going for the zombie look.
Not a pretty sight. But when you see a horse's skull and you see how much wider the upper jaw is than the lower jaw, you realize why so many tight caviston nosebands, cranked caviston nosebands or flash nosebands make a horse so uncomfortable. And in that same area are the main motor and sensory nerves, which come out just underneath the skin but over the bones of the skull, serving all of the lower parts of the face, including the mouth. And if you put continuous pressure on those nerves, the nerves cease to work for that period of time. In other words, the area below them become numb. So many bad fitting, if you like, for want of a better expression, tight nosebands actually make the horse numb. My bridle does none of those things. And so people instead use drop nosebands, but so many people put them on so low that they actually fracture the sensitive nose bones on the nose of the horse. And so my bridle sits higher than that, but is like a drop noseband because it does up underneath the bit. And it makes also, in fact, because I have a ring on the nose, the finest lunge caviston you'll ever meet in your life. And it can also be used bitless, bit free. And
it's very versatile because it's the same bridle that you can use in many, many different ways. I'm a little bit familiar with it through the tack industry.
But it can also be used, primarily it's a specialist bridle. And we have Andrew Nicholson used it at Rolex. Mark Todd used it at Burley. We have Rodrigo Pessoa, the show jumper, used it. Andrew Bourne's won a Grand Prix at Wellington on Roundhorn Matthias and won the Grand Prix indeed at Spruce Meadows. So we have riders from all disciplines using it, and it's primarily a bridle. Now, I happen to be a young horseman. I happen to do a lot of lunging, so it's also a lunge caviston. So I have to pinch myself very often in the morning because it's been such a success.
And getting it approved by the FEI, that was huge.
For those that haven't seen it, why did it need approved? What was so different that the FEI had to take a look at it?
It's a bridle and a noseband together, number one. So there's no narrow noseband strap going under this pretty headpiece, which we tend to put on. And it fits as a drop noseband higher than a normal drop noseband and has a diagonal piece to take it away from the teeth. So it's like no other noseband that's been on the market in that sense, and no other bridle that's been on the market. And the FEI, to give them credit, didn't just say no. They said, right, we'll give this out to a little small group of people to test it. And it was led by Richard Davidson, who was on the British dressage team at the last Olympic Games. And his report was so positive, and he was so enthusiastic about it, that he's continued to use it on his young horses. And he said, and I believe his words were, that it should be approved immediately as a more humane alternative than what was available at the moment. So it's this more humane alternative, which, is so exciting.
Right. And that's a big deal for people who have brought, and we're here at ADA, where new products get introduced continuously. One of the barriers for any new product is it being approved for use in competition, because
Absolutely.
Many people, if it's not approved for competition, they just don't want to look at it at all. And getting that bridle approved, when I saw that headline come across the ticker, so to speak, made a big difference. When that happened, did you see an uptick in the sales that people said, this is something I should be
using? Okay, I can use it now.
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, it didn't quite work out that way around because, as I said, I've been using it for 21 years and I was working away at developing it and getting approval and things like that before Horseware took it on. So when we went to the equivalent of AETA in Britain is BETA, and the British Equestrian Trade Association show, it won the Innovation Award for tack at BETA. And it was, even at that stage, I had FEI approval because I had been working with it earlier on. And I have to emphasize, this is something that's been in my head and in slow development and then physical development over a long period of time. So I was actually about 25 when I first started thinking about it. And as I said, I've been using it for 21 years. So I know, and that's good actually, because these products need time to
develop. That's a lot more product testing than most of these products get.
They do.
We made one sample. It was tested.
We're running out of time. Where can people find the book and the product?
They can find their book on Amazon, The Complete Horse Riding Manual. It's published by Dorling Kindersley. And the bridle is through Horseware Ireland, who are the biggest rug manufacturers in the world. And it's been a nice tie-up, a nice synergy with myself and with Horseware.
And it's starting to get out to tack shops here in the United States.
It's particularly available on Dover Saddlery and Smart Pack. And the exciting thing that Dover tell me is that it's out on Dover Saddlery. And this is a startling fact, but it's true. It is outselling traditional bridles.
Oh, great.
Now,
that's exciting.
Now, I wish my father was still alive, because he would be so thrilled by that.
I've seen your bridle at local tack stores. So when you go to your local shop, if they don't have the Micklem bridle, it is readily available. Yeah. So ask them to carry it for you.
But what you have to be is brave enough to use it, because it's a new look. But people who, like Andrew Nicholson, who don't worry about how it looks, they feel their horses go better in something, they will use it.
I didn't find it radical, though. When I used it, I went, the noseband's shaped different. That makes perfect sense. And I grabbed one and put it on my horse.
You're a modern woman.
That's why I married her.
And you know who else doesn't worry about the look of it? My children and their friends have known nothing else but the Micklem bridle.
Right.
And that's interesting. They're a new generation of riders. They've known nothing else, and they see it
they
as perfectly
don't think
logical.
It is any
right.
big
and they
deal.
Say, why use these other things with all these straps and bits and pieces and things? So that's exciting.
And I
have one more thing to do.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm
going
to be rude and interrupt, because I have a real passion about this.
Yeah.
Is I believe there is absolutely no justification for stopping people using plain snaffles at the higher levels of dressage. So the day when you can go into a pre-St. George dressage test and use a snaffle, you can also go down in a Micklem bridle. And that would be a real red letter day, and I think good for horsemanship overall. And if we can get a pre-St. George horse or pre-St. George level horses doing dressage in a snaffle, then that's not a big jump to doing Grand Prix horses in dressage.
I cannot disagree there.
And combined with that, to get the hunters using it. Now, I know the hunters need a specific look, but it's actually not banned. And I would love to find somebody who was brave enough to say, listen, if this is a better way of doing things, why don't we do it for the sake of the horse?
Look, they're all wearing helmets now. We never thought we'd see that day.
So I think the day can come.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I say that the Micklem bridle is, you know, it's loved by trainers, but it's also loved by horses. And so if you care about horses, then one needs to make these sort of jumps.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Very good. Thank you. It is the website, williammicklem.com, and it's MICKLEM.com.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
It's been great.
Glenn the Geek here. The life of horse person is hard enough, and we all hate doing the required paperwork, and unfortunately, many of us never get around to it, and it just piles up on our desk. That is about to change thanks to the Equisketch Records app for your iPhone or iPad. My wife and I use it to track our horses, and we absolutely love this thing. Equisketch Records is the most thorough and complete equestrian records app on the market today. We love this app because you can track your farrier work, your dental, your coggins, medicines, worming, and so much more. And you can get reminders on your device when all of these things are due. You'll never forget a worming or shots or farrier visit again. But it not only tracks your horse, you can also manage your horse shows, including individual events. You can manage riders, including lessons and memberships, and so much more. And you can sync it between your iPhone and your iPad, and all of this for the price of a couple of cups of coffee from Starbucks. Search for Equisketch Records in the iOS App Store or go to equisketch.com. That's EQUISKETCH.com. Equisketch.com. And next, we switch things up a bit to take a look at socks. This is Bonnie, Executive Vice President of Ink Stables. Hi, it's Glenn here, and I also have Coach Jen with me.
Hi-ho!
And we are at ADA recording interviews about cool new products that we have found at the trade show here in Philadelphia, in the snowy Philadelphia.
Oh, gosh. Can we please put in for a reasonable weather report in January
in Philadelphia? No, apparently not.
Golly.
So we have Bonnie Austin with us, who is from Ink Stables. Now, every show we come to, we have to find
socks.
Jennifer's favorite thing, socks. She loves colorful socks.
Well, they take up less space than shoes.
She used to buy wool socks, but now we live in Florida, that doesn't happen so much anymore. So now Jennifer loves tall boot socks and loves colorful tall boot socks. And Bonnie, that is what you have brought to the table. Tell us what makes your socks different than others.
Well, our socks are designed by equestrians for equestrians. And we bring cool designs that we associate with ADA in January and in August. We introduce 15 to 20 new designs. And they can be designed by a graphic designer with a history within the equestrian world, and also by local artists in our area. Our socks are made in the USA, in Cream Ridge, New Jersey.
Yay, they actually make something.
Yes, in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Yes, we do.
And you know, all of our New Jersey listeners, which we have many,
very active
New Jersey listeners are going to be happy to hear that.
Take note, Happy Barbie. They have some really cute kitty cats.
Yes. So you have, your socks actually look a little smoother than I'm used to seeing. So why are they smoother?
Yeah, they made out of different material or something?
85% nylon, 15% spandex, okay. And we did 8 months of product development to develop a sock that the rider would like and also the trainers while they are doing their training that they can be comfortable.
And they're machine washable like most are, but it says don't put them in the dryer. Is that because of the...
It'll shrink it and take the color out. So you line dry them and then they conform back
to the sock. And
the
colors are really rich.
Right, we try to match. We're very fashion forward, and we try to match the color of the year. We have a Mother's Day sock, and Orchid happens to be the color of the year. Oh. So we did a mirror and a fold design with a very nice stripe with an orchid background. And we also concentrate on holiday socks, you know, throughout the year. But in the Mother's Day sock, we just made it very fashion forward. So when you wear a top, they like to coordinate the breeches with their shirt. So now your socks will match what you're wearing.
You know, these kind of remind me of Jennifer's been complaining all weekend about the business cards I get because they're shiny and hard to write on. These look shiny as compared to a matte surface. You know, these are kind of like my shiny business cards.
And you can't write on them.
But the colors, because of that, the colors really do jump at you.
Yes,
which
they
is
do.
Why we noticed your booth, because it's so colorful.
Yeah.
Right, they are vibrant and fun to design as well.
Do the socks come in adult and children?
Yes, adult and tween.
Tween. Because heavens, no 9-year-old wants to be called child, right?
No, correct. They are a tween at that age.
They're a tween.
And we offer all our designs in either adult or the tween.
Now, you also offer the sock I'm looking at that says bamboo athletic comfort. Now, every time we talk about bamboo products, I say the same thing because it's the first thing I think of is bamboo just does not look comfortable. When you see it growing beside our house, we have bamboo, and it just doesn't look comfortable.
It's prickly.
It's very prickly, yes.
I thought the same thing. I will be straight up about that.
Well, why then do you make a sock out of bamboo?
It is a natural fiber, and it is a wicken, and it absorbs the moisture, and it is so comfortable. If you feel the bottom, it gives a cushion.
It's a real squishy sock.
Yeah.
Honestly, you can wear this all day long, and especially with the cold winter, we are layering up.
And this is a different one than one that we were just talking about.
Exactly.
The other ones we were talking about were tall boot socks.
Right. Now, this is just a straight bamboo crew sock.
Crew sock, yeah.
It's a really cool shade of frosty green.
It is. And
I like
call
frosty
it,
green.
Right. And we have a sky blue. It comes in a variety of colors with that.
So what I do is when I have squishy, soft, warm socks on, I put the squishy, soft, warm socks on, and then I put the really cool boot socks over top.
So do I. And if I'm in a rush and I forget that I need to do the bamboo, the tall boot socks go on, and then the bamboo.
Exactly. Not quite as cool looking, but effective.
Right, exactly. And warm.
Yes.
And warm.
One of the designs that I thought was just incredibly unique and adventurous is you made one of the tall boot socks, and the pattern on the sock is a little jump course, and it's got the arrows on the jumps and the flags like you would see at the end gate of the jumper show. It's so cute.
It is adorable. We introduced this particular sock last August at Ada, and it was designed by my brother-in-law, Jason Beck, who happens to be a hunter jumper trainer.
Oh, okay.
With our farm, Rhythm and Blues Stables.
They're even numbered.
Yes, they
Isn't
are.
Great?
Yeah, he knows. He knows.
And 5A, 5B, 5C.
Oh,
right.
So it's a tough course.
There's
it's got a triple.
On
it's
the
got
back.
A triple.
Yeah. That's cute. That
Isn't
is
cool?
very cute. That's an inside joke.
It is.
Yeah,
it
definitely
is.
An inside joke. Anybody else seeing that would go, what is that?
Yeah, but the ones you're wearing are a little dressage test, aren't
right.
they?
Right. These are for the dressage course and that I'm currently wearing. And what happened is...
So it's like a cheat sheet. If you forget your move, you look at your leg.
It is. Well, my sister happens to be a dressage trainer. And we always... It's a
I thought you were going to say dressage queen there for a second. No, okay. Good.
No, she doesn't say She's that still, in public.
Yeah. She wants to say sisters.
So it's a family affair. So what happens is we sit down and we discuss what we want to target. So last August, we did Hunter Jumper. This in January, we said, oh, let's do focus more on dressage. So, of course, my sister, being a dressage trainer, we said, oh, we need a dressage course. We need dressage movement. So we have like a starting to extend, and we have a lot of fun with it.
You know, if you developed a sleeve that had the entire test on it, on the underside with invisible ink, so that when you turn your arm...
Don't tell everybody. Okay.
That's what you
is
need.
That off the record?
That'll be the next thing. Now, well, the other thing right. is...
And we also do custom logos.
Oh, really?
Our tall boot socks, just to let you know.
Oh, for farm logos?
For farms, for logos, for prizes. So
you could put our cute little microphone guy on it.
Yes, you could. And you could sell them as the socks. We do an extensive custom program.
Ah.
Right. And
well, you know, Bob
it.
And Sherry, they do a morning show across the country, and they have sexy socks. We could have Horse Radio Network sexy socks.
There we go.
You could.
Yes, yes.
You could. And
improve your love life with our socks.
That's right. And they're
that's
comfortable,
right.
like lingerie.
There we
I
go.
I like her. She just jumps right in.
Go.
Now, the other thing is Matchy Matchy is all in now.
Yes,
so
it is.
You have also matching bows and socks.
We are. At this show, we continually introduce new products, and Ada really is our new introduction base where we do this. So now we are doing with Ellie's Bows. We have teamed up. See, pretty bow, really beautiful. You can't see it on the radio. The colors are just as vibrant.
It's a lovely shade of pistachio.
It
yeah,
is.
It is pistachio,
it is.
Actually.
It is. We have a little pink on the sock, so we're now selling this as a package with a sock, pair of socks, not one single that you're seeing, and a bow. That color matches it, because everybody likes to be color coordinated.
Matchy-matchy.
Oh, cool.
Right?
Very
so
cool.
We're really, very, very excited.
And where can people find them?
You can find them on our website.
Which
and
is?
Where is that?
That is www.weareinkstables.com. And it's weareinkstables.com.
Somebody had inkstables.com already, didn't they?
Yeah.
So
and
it's
they wanted $12 million
yeah,
for
that's
it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder what they did. Probably a tattoo parlor
yeah,
somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah. We are inkstables.com.
Correct.
Thank you so much.
And you can find them at local retailers, right?
At local retailers?
Yes, exactly.
And if your local retailer doesn't have it, they should ask for them.
Exactly. And ask for Bonnie or Eddie, and we'll be more than happy to help you.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, from Inkstables.
And thank you for having us today. Appreciate it.
Well, you're listening to a special Tack Talk edition of Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek from Ocala, Florida. And I am the only one here today. Rose couldn't make it today. She'll hopefully be back again next month. Jennifer's off doing another project. Jamie is off today. So the whole gang will be back with you, though, tomorrow morning. This episode is brought to you by Equus Now. Well, we've talked a lot about product. We've talked a lot about different tack, from bits to books to bridles to socks. Now we are going to replay for you a special interview. We're going to be talking about beer. Yes, that's right. We're going to replay a special interview we did with Don Jeans last Friday. Jamie surprised Jennifer and I. She just said she had a special guest. She didn't say who it was. And she booked Don. She took her a year to get it done, I think. She's been stalking him since the first commercial last year. And of course, Don Jeans is the guy who plays in the wonderful Budweiser commercials that we all love this year, including a puppy. And he's just a fascinating guy, and we wanted to, if you didn't get a chance to hear the interview on Friday, then take a listen. We think you're going to really enjoy this.
Now, I've got to tell you that I'm super excited because my super secret guest, Glenn, is officially on the phone here, and I don't know how to introduce him other than every single one of you guys knows who he is, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about him come Monday morning. Because he is in the best Super Bowl commercial of all time, and I would like to welcome Don Jeans. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry I've been stalking you for, I don't know, a year? Something like that?
Thank you for having me, and I'm glad we finally got connected.
I know. It finally just took us texting back and forth, I think, was the final way. So everybody listening right now, this Don is so famous. You've all seen him. You have now officially cried probably repeatedly because of him. Tell us about being the Clydesdale guy and the puppy guy now in the Super Bowl commercials.
Man, I got to tell you, I got the best job in the world. For the first year, I couldn't believe I got to go on set and work with horses every day. And then they brought me back for a second one, and they threw in a very lovely lady, Melissa Keller, and a puppy. I said, man, you guys are doing me a favor. You got everything but the kitchen sink in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really cool.
So if Glenn, if you're still not quite clued in, he was the guy that raised the Clydesdale baby, the greatest Super Bowl ad of last year, and the
Chicago City scene there.
Yes,
yeah.
And the horse gallops back to him because they love each other. And I'm gonna go ahead and say that was real because emotionally, I need to think that was real.
It was. Well, then we'll run with it.
That was really your horse, and it really happened, and you read the paper, and you actually really went to see the Budweiser Clydesdales, and he really broke free and came galloping to you?
You got it. That was the most amazing day of my life.
So tell us about your new puppy, then, if we're going to go with it.
Oh, so, yeah. So, anyway, after that, obviously, my deal with Budweiser just got bigger and bigger, so they started buying more horses from Don Jeans, the horse breeder. And then I had this lady move in, you know, right down the street of the ranch down the road, and she raises and keeps these adopted Labrador retrievers. I mean, these beautiful little puppies, and it kept showing up at the barn. I couldn't figure it out, you know, because I'm a nice guy, but I'm about my business. So I can't have a little puppy wandering around the stables. Let's get this back to Melissa. And then, you know, when the horses stop it, they got a mind of their own. And you don't want to get in the way of a Clydesdale, all right?
Right.
So they stopped the car, and they got him out of there. And now his name is Ralph Otto Emerson, but I call him Buddy.
Okay.
And we're having a good time. We're a big, happy family.
Oh my God, I love you more now. Thank you. Thank you for going with that.
Thank you for going with that.
Yeah.
So talking to about Don Jeans here, have you always been a horse guy?
I have. I was raised on a ranch right here in Houston, Texas, about an hour and a half north of Houston. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, but my dad was a rancher for 40 years. He passed away in 2005, God rest his soul. But my grandfather still owns a 1,000-acre ranch right here in Dayton, Texas, 30 miles north of Houston. And I've been working cows, fixing fence, working on the ranch for my whole life. I even, when I was about 15, I rode bulls. And there's a country music musician who said he had about a 15-minute career, which is about what is it? Oh, gosh. 10 minutes on five bulls, or less than that, or 10 bulls at 5 minutes each, 5 seconds, 15-second career. I think that's how long mine lasted, about 15 seconds, because my brother broke his collarbone, and I said, no, I don't want to do that no more. But I've always loved horses, and we always had quarter horses out of the ranch, and they're just
I would bet your mother probably did not want you riding bulls after your brother broke his collarbone.
She did not, and he was driving, and I used that as an excuse. I said, oh, yeah, well, we can't get there, so I'm good.
Your poor mother. So you are still living near a ranch in Houston? Are you still in Houston?
No, ma'am. I'm in Houston to visit family on a little bit of a family emergency right now, but I live in Hollywood, California. And I go out on auditions every day. My main job is an actor.
Well, I've got to tell you that you're not pulling anything over on me, because I do know that you live on that Budweiser farm, but I also know that you're the handsome soldier in the Cuba Libre commercials.
That's right. That is right.
I saw that. I was like, wait, that's the guy that owns the Clydesdale.
He gets around.
That was my great-grandfather. That was footage of him fighting in the Cuban-American War.
Yes, yes. And the Penelope Cruz look-alike was his
wife,
right?
There you go.
Hey, Don.
John, I got to ask you, you know, we owned an acting company for a long time, and we did improv. Have you been improv trained? The reason I ask that is you see so many of the top name actors in interviews, and they ask about the movie, and they can't even tell about the movie. You just did the most excellent descriptions of two of the commercials you were in than I've ever heard any actor ever do. So you must have been improv trained at some point or another.
Well, thank you, sir. You have got it. I did train at the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York. And I've got a friend I've known for a really long time, and people get around us and they're like, I'm not even going to try to keep up because we just go on these stories. One of my favorite pastimes is making up backstories. For people I see on the street. So we'll just go off, and then we act out their lives after they've left. Pretty fun.
That's great. So the commercial that we're going to see this weekend, last year was you and the foal. This year was you, a puppy, the horse, and the girl. Next year, just to make all the women swoon, is it going to be you, a horse, a dog, the lady, and a little baby? I mean, to me, that's the natural progression.
You know what? Let's spread that rumor. Let's really lock Budweiser into it, because I would like to do another one.
I hope you get a dollar per play on YouTube for this commercial, because you'll be a rich man.
Oh, Lord, I wish I did. From your lips to God's ears.
I think it's up to like 16 million views. And is there a reason that they would want to release it ahead of time to get people talking about it? Do you know why they would do that?
Well, from what I can surmise, obviously it's going to just build more interest before the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, people are still going to watch it, but leading up to it now, it's great marketing. You get more people interested in the commercial and watching it, more eyes on your product.
Are you getting recognized now for this ad?
You know what's weird is I look a little bit different without a hat on, and people look at me sometimes, but they don't know where they know me from. So I get about two or three glances, and then they shake their head and walk away trying to figure out if I'm their friend, cousin.
Listen, Don, all you need to do is throw on a ball cap and put on some jeans and boots, and you'll be swarmed, my friend.
Well, you know what? I got a little bit of a dilemma. I do have the ball cap from the commercial. They let me keep that, which is very nice of them. But I figure if I wore it around town, it'd be just a little bit too needy. So I keep that in the closet.
Dude, you live in Hollywood. It is the land of the needy, okay?
Yeah. That's true.
you're going to be just fine. Throw on the hat. Go to the grocery store.
That's right. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, John, can you tell us anything you have coming up?
I got a couple things. There's a movie that I did in the Amazon called Dark Amazon that is currently looking for distribution. I've got a short film that I did through the USC Thesis program. That's an artistic film that's going to be going to festivals. That is the story of a young singer who has lost her way and I play her love interest. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you know who Mackenzie Phillips is.
Oh, sure do. Yeah.
Yeah. She plays the mother in that one. And then I have another short film called Acaso, which was pretty big budget for a short film. It literally translates to chance, and it's about a guy who's thinking about taking his own life. He's talked out of it by another guy, and then there's a cool twist at the end. And that's opposite a guy named David Lee Smith, who was the guy in Fight Club who was selling them Icon when he says, can I get that in Patty Winkle Blue? Other than that, I have a Kia commercial running right now. And auditions every day.
Well, now you're gonna have Jamie swooning here because I got to ask you, do you sing also?
I don't sing professionally. You might catch me humming a tune every once in a while, but karaoke is not my thing. So I don't think I'll pursue that avenue.
Listen, Don, we're never going to meet. If you could just go ahead and tell me that on your Budweiser Clydesdale farm, you sit under the tree and play guitar to the puppy, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, well, of course I do that.
So just so you know, the women, we've talked to so many women that just absolutely love that commercial, and we just love the part that you play in it. When you got that ad and you were reading the script, were you like, score? I mean, was that like a big get?
Yeah, I tell you what, the first time I went in, and some people were asking about that, and the first commercial, I really connected immediately with the script. There's not much of a script, but you get the storyboard and the explanation of the current. And I really, some things you don't, you have to really work to get your placements in the emotional current. But this one, immediately I knew exactly what was going on. And then the second one, when they showed it to me, I was, like I said earlier, I was like, oh man, you guys, this is awesome. So it was, they're just, say again?
I said they just slayed it. They killed it.
They killed it. They really killed it. It was really fun stuff.
And so did you know that you were going to do a sequel to that ad, or did they come to you this year and say, hey, we got an idea?
I did. At the time of the first one, I did not know I was going to do a sequel. But I got a few friends from set, and they started sending me Facebook messages going, I think they're going to do another one, Don. I think they're going to do another one. I was like, don't tease me. Don't play. And then lo and behold, absolutely. Here we are.
Yeah, so are we? What is your acting goal? Do you want to do films? Do you want to do stay in commercials? Do you want to do shows? Are we going to see you on a reality show where you're handing out roses or something? What's the deal?
No, I'm not. You won't catch me on any reality TV. I'm an actor. Yeah, but I mean that is why not think positive? You're going to dream big. So being on the silver screen would be great. That would be great. I've done it once. I played Neil Armstrong in Transformers 3. So I want to get back cool. there, and let's go big.
All right, I'm going to call my friend. Our listeners know that I have a really good relationship with Leonardo DiCaprio, and so I'll call him. I'll put in a good word.
Yeah, just tell him you got a friend named Don Jeans. You need to put him in a movie. Yeah, I got it. I'll look forward to that call.
It'll cut any
day. Don't hold
now.
Your breath, Don.
I'll expect that by 5 today. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, we're so excited to talk to you. I hope that we can have you on again just to catch up with you, especially when they call you about the third ad when you're going to be making the babies with the girl that owns the farm down the street. I'm telling you, it's genius, and I want a cut because that was my idea.
Hey, let's keep it going. I think it is. You're on to something here, and you will definitely have me back on at that time.
Sounds great, Don. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today, and congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Don, where can people follow you? Twitter, Facebook, do you have a Facebook page? How can they follow you?
I do. You can go just search Don Jeans, my name, DonJeanes, on Twitter, and I should pop up there. I have a fan page on Facebook as well. Or you can go to my website at donjeanes.com.
He's kind of big time, though, Glenn. So when you do send him messages repeatedly and stalk him on Facebook, he's not the one who is going to write you back, just so you know.
It'll be me.
It'll be a year later, but it'll be him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, John. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this special Tech Talk episode for the month of February. Thank you to Equus Now. We hope to see Rose back here again next month. But thank you to Equus Now for their continuing support of Horses in the Morning. You can find all of their terrific products and tremendous service at equusnow.com. We're going to be back here again tomorrow morning with the whole gang. And don't forget to sign up for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. We'll be playing that first tomorrow morning with a lucky listener playing Gina Miles for some tremendous prizes. So sign up at horsesinthemorning.com. Well, let's finish the show off today with a song. Templeton Thompson and Run for the Roses.
Born in the valley and raised in western Kentucky on wobbly knees, with mama beside you to help you along. You soon be a growing up strong. All the long lazy mornings and pastures of green, the sun on your withers and the wind in your mane could never prepare you for what lies ahead. The run for the rose is so your fate is delivered, your moment's at hand. It's the chance of a lifetime, and a lifetime of chance. And it's high time you joined in the dance. It's high time you joined in the dance. And it's training, and it's something unknown that drives you and carries you home. And it's run for the roses as fast as you can. Your fate is delivered, your moment's at hand. It's the chance of so join in the dance. Oh yeah. And it's run for the roses as fast as you can. Your fate is delivered, your moment's at hand. It's the chance of a lifetime, in a lifetime of chance. And it's high time you joined in the dance. Oh, it's high time.